From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This, from Boston, where the health impacts of longer-term racism on Asian Americans is just beginning to be understood. Here with more on this is WBUR health reporter Angus Chen. Hey, Angus.
Hey, Arun.
So what do we know about the longer-term health impacts of racism on communities of color, in particular Asian Americans?
There are so many health impacts from racism, it's kind of hard to know where to begin. But in the short term, experiencing or observing racist things raises your stress level, your anxiety, it hurts your sense of security. I mean, these are things that we've seen in controlled laboratory experiments. But because communities of color experience racism on a daily basis, repeated stress and anxiety and a sense of danger can lead to a lot of long-term health problems, including an increased risk for things like cardiovascular disease, major depression. There's been studies even showing things like higher infant mortality rates due to race-related stress. Most of this research has been done with the help of Black participants or Latino participants, but we don't really know that much in comparison about the long-term health effects of racism on Asian Americans. We can only sort of extrapolate what we know from research done on other communities of color.
And why is there so little? Do we know why there isn't a lot of data or information on the impact of racism on Asian Americans?
Yeah, I think that's a complicated question. But first, I mean, I definitely don't want to diminish the contribution of researchers who are studying the health impacts of Asian Americans. There are some really great scientists out there who are dedicating their career to this. Among them, some I've talked to, Gilbert Ji at UCLA, Gloria Wong Padungpat at University of Nevada, and Yulin Xuan at UCSF. But to your question, Asian issues, they just don't get studied as much. One is a lack of funding, so less than 0.2% of NIH funding went to studying Asian Americans in the last couple of decades. Another is the model minority myth that makes it seem like Asians don't experience the same issues as other communities of color, or that there are no Asian health disparities. And I think there's also a cultural element. You know, Asian Americans might be more reluctant to report racist incidents because in a lot of Asian cultures, there's this idea of saving face. And, you know, there's a language barrier, too. A lot of Asian Americans don't have the English language skills to talk about these things or feel comfortable talking about these things. I think we're starting to see, or I hope we're starting to see now, a recognition of these barriers to understanding racism against Asian Americans. And that's really the first step to adequately studying the community.
It seems almost like there's kind of a vicious cycle here, like the lack of data might affect the experiences in the first place. I mean, if you think about how this might come across as well, like with the low reported numbers, Asian Americans might think that I don't want to be the anomaly who has mental health issues. I'm going to, you know, say I'm fine.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. But I definitely want to say that the lack of data, I think, comes from a systematic marginalization of Asian issues. You know, since we as a society aren't seeing Asian issues as much, they never really get addressed. And so we don't end up with a lot of progress in terms of racial justice for Asian Americans. It just means that racism will just continue to harm us. I'm hopeful things will change because of the attention we're seeing now, but obviously attacks continue to happen. You know, these racist things continue to happen. I saw yesterday an Asian man was beaten on the street in New York City while collecting cans, and he was put into critical condition. And just a couple weeks ago, there was a mass shooting in Indianapolis that wasn't explicitly connected to Asian Americans, but half of the victims were Sikh at a workplace primarily staffed by Sikh Americans. And the fact that aspect wasn't more widely talked about, to me, is a sign that the silencing of anti-Asian racism is ongoing. And I'm not sure that Asian Americans are really wanting to be silent on these things. It's just that even if they are speaking out, like, you know, Sikh Americans are speaking out about that shooting, but it's just not being covered.
Yeah, and well, from my own experience of my own limited experience, I know that some of us Asian Americans are talking about this a lot among ourselves right now, right? I mean, you must have, I'm sure you've heard from people you've been reporting on.
Yeah, I mean, I can say with my own family that these are conversations that we're having all the time. My sister has been talking about sort of buying mace, and you know, my family members have been trying to find ways to protect themselves. To the previous point, I mean, I think we are having these conversations, and we want to see that racism is being against our communities being addressed. But it really hurts when you see that your community is under attack and nothing is changing, right? So I spoke with NYU psychologist Doris Chang about this, and this is how she put it.
Wondering how people view us, wondering whether, you know, we're sort of allowed to have our own experiences of racial trauma. And so that moment of wondering, you know, was really painful.
Now, I spoke with people who had experienced hate crimes and racism themselves, you know, over the past year and further than this past year. And then, you know, had this experience where others around them were dismissing that experience. And for them, you know, that was just as traumatizing and hurtful as the racist experience itself.
Right. And, well, you know, these acts of violence towards Asian Americans, they've been around, but it seems like, between the pandemic and hearing a lot of very specifically Asian-directed hate and coming up all the way to the shootings in Atlanta last month, that it does feel like there is some traction in the public attention right now. Are you getting a sense of hope from anybody in the Asian community that the needle might finally be moving on this?
Yeah, I think pretty much everyone I spoke to has this sense that, you know, because there's this kind of swell of attention on anti-Asian issues and that there are people who are finally, you know, showing up for Asian American people, that there's a sense that things actually might start to change. You know, I think that there's also kind of a desire to sort of try to live your life and move past these things. We know from research that viral media of racist attacks is harmful. It's harmful for your mental health. But part of the problem is that a lot of anti-Asian racism and Asian American history as a whole has been largely erased in this country. And there's no hope to change things unless there's this attention. That awareness just has to be there. And for Asian people and for other people of color, knowing and understanding the danger that racism poses helps to protect us, even if racism is a hard thing to look at.
Yeah, and we need to be looking at this and having conversations and paying attention. And Angus, one thing that feels kind of good is that, you know, we have two Asian American journalists having a conversation about this in the media. So that feels like some progress. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm grateful for us and grateful for you, Arun, for, you know, having me on for this conversation.
I wish there were normal times. We'd go and get a beer and talk about this in more detail, but we'll do that later, okay?
Sounds good.
That's WBUR health reporter Angus Chen. Before I go, I should tell you what else is up in Boston. Starting on Friday, you'll no longer be required to wear a mask outdoors. Along with the end of the state's outdoor mask mandate, Governor Charlie Baker says other coronavirus restrictions will be relaxed soon. Among them, amusement parks, including water parks, can reopen at 50% capacity starting on May 10th. Then, a few weeks later, on May 29th, indoor gatherings with a maximum of 200 people will be allowed. Bars are also slated to reopen without serving food by the end of May as well. If all goes according to plan, and we all know that's a sizable if, all Massachusetts businesses should be allowed to reopen without capacity limitations by the 1st of August. And in more reopening news, the state's Board of Education announced Tuesday that all high school students need to be back in classrooms full-time by May 17. The board had already required middle schoolers to be back full-time by tomorrow. Elementary school students have been back for weeks. Meantime, more people are calling Massachusetts home. That's according to the latest data from the U.S. Census. All in all, Massachusetts has gained 500,000 more residents since 2010. This means that, like other New England states, the Commonwealth will hold on to all 9 of its congressional seats next year. But Secretary of State Bill Galvin says challenges remain, since districts will need to be redrawn according to shifts in local populations within the state. Galvin says preserving the minority-majority makeup of District 7, Ianna Pressley's seat, is a high priority. Meanwhile, the city of Boston says new data from another census, the annual homeless census, shows homelessness in the city in 2020 was down by around 26% from 2019. The data come from a year single-night count in January of all homeless adults staying in emergency shelters in the city. The city and its partners have housed more than 700 individuals since the start of the pandemic. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. We'll talk tomorrow. Speaking of podcasts, here's one more you might enjoy. From GBH News, In It Together, the podcast, brings you the latest news on the pandemic with a human touch. You'll hear from local experts and neighbors, doctors and friends, each talking about how we're all getting through these uncertain times together. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.